We have gathered together some of the personnel of WCCO here in this suite at the Leamington to appear on the show with us today. I want you to meet some of these lovely people. Larry Haig is the general manager of the station, but we've left him at home to listen in and check on us. We have here in the studio, or in this beautiful suite, Howard Viken, who does the early morning show immediately preceding Arthur Godfrey time every morning on WCCO. Howard, you start at 8 o'clock, huh?
That's right, Arthur.
How did you get such a wonderful time to start a morning show?
Well, I had to work up to the thing, you know. I started almost as early in the morning as you did for about 5 years.
Oh.
You were back in WTOP, wasn't it?
Yes, WCBS in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we started at 6 o'clock in the morning for 17 years.
Uh-huh.
And you only did that 5 years.
Something like that.
Seven to eight?
They felt sorry for my age, I guess. I was losing my hair.
Man, is he lost?
It grew hair on me. It was just the other way around. But who precedes you?
Well, before that, we have a couple, Joyce Lamont and Bob Behaven.
I see. They're the early morning people now.
That's just the beginning. We've got two guys, a farm director, Maynard Spies, and Jim Hill, who talk to the farmers for about an hour and a half. And we've got this character next to me, Roger Erickson.
He's on early, too?
He's now on at 5.
Holy smokes. Let's talk to him. Roger Erickson and Charlie Boone. They do an afternoon thing here we were going to get into, but I understand now you do something early, too.
Yes, I'm on from about 5 to 6:30, Arthur, and then I come back in the afternoon from 1 to 3:30.
What do you do between 5 and 6:30?
Oh, that's when we have the most fun. The best audience... Arthur, did you find that true? The best audience is early in the morning.
They hate the world same as I did at that hour. So everybody had a ball.
Someone told me that the difference between doing an afternoon show and an evening show, or a morning show, rather, is that in the afternoon, you come home and you feel fairly sophisticated, you want to sit down with a martini. In the morning, you get up, you want to splash water in your face. So we splash water in the morning with some good old corny jokes, the kind of thing that won't go in the afternoon. But it's a lot of fun. I like the morning.
Did you ever try splashing a martini in your face? That'll wake you up. Charlie Boone, what's with you?
Well, we're on in the afternoon together. We sort of overlap each other. And Rod starts at 1, and then we get together at 2:30. And then I take over at 3:30 and go on until 5 by myself.
I see. And then during the afternoon, you run a recording show or what? Records and things like that?
Yes, we play music, and several people drop in. An old fellow by the name of Uncle Fogey drops by every once in a while. He's 78 years old, and he's a lot of fun.
Oh, we got a band leader like that.
Hello, folks!
He looks just like Uncle Fogey.
It sounds like him, doesn't it? That's Johnny Parker. But all of these young men are very attractive and very good and very... very successful. But what really makes WCCO is this gorgeous receptionist we got sitting here. Name of Pat Larson. Grandpa, I want you to know. Are you listening?
Will you marry me, dear?
You got your proposal right away, Pat. She hasn't got a pair. Put a pair of phones on her so she can hear. Grandpa, go ahead and propose.
Well, I'm old and I forget, but I got lots of money, should I?
Tell him again, Pat.
I accept.
Okay.
Boy, I don't know which one of you got the worst. Johnny Parker, did you ever see him? Well, he's about 6'3". Weighs about... Look at her. Right away, she went, ooh, look at that. Look at that. Us short guys are out right away. There's just no good.
That's just his head.
You know who that was, don't you? That was Richard Hayes in New York.
Edith Head.
Edith Head, huh? And who else is there with you?
I'm here.
That's Carol Sloan.
You remembered.
Oh, honey, I had to try hard. I haven't seen you since last Thursday.
I know.
You feeling all right?
Oh, my lumps and bumps are rapidly reducing.
Oh, I asked you not to do that. Because I'm going to suggest something for you to get back some of those bumps.
Oh?
Sweet California dates. Succulent, fresh, sweet California dates. Hey, can you hear a lag in this line? You can't, can you? Dick, will you please do me the announcer at the fights? How does he sound?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's what it sounds to me coming back on the phones here. Do it once again. Pat's listening.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He talks like that all the time. Sweet California dates. When you go to buy dates for your house, will you be so kind as to look at the label on the package of dates that you get? Just don't say, give me a box of dates. Tell them you want a box of California dates. If you look at the label, you can tell they're made in California, but you don't even have to look at the label to know, because their color will be so delicious, golden, not all dark, dead-looking and mashed like a bunch of camels have been walking on them. I told you the other day why those imported dates look like that. Camels have been walking on them. But these California dates are so luscious tasting, so good, so full of gold and sunshine, because they're grown in the Coachella Valley in California, down in the southern part of California. And they're plump and full-bodied and delicious, just like the receptionist here at WCCO. And I want you to know you can't do any better than that. You go to the store and buy sweet California dates, huh? And don't let anybody tell you out of them. You don't want any imported dates after you've once seen these California things. Lots of products that come from abroad are good. And imported dates are good. But California dates are 10 times as good. Try and see for yourself, will you? And insist on California dates. Thank you. Now, I have introduced everyone, and I would like to hear of a little music here. To begin with, Carol Sloan, please.
Yes, sir.
I think we could give you a big hand for that. Well, there's a nice mixture. Applause from Minneapolis and
thank
applause from
much.
New York, all mixed up into one.
Thank you. Sounds wonderful.
Sounded good out here, Gal.
Oh, good.
And here's something interesting. Mrs. Butterworth syrup. Do you know Mrs. Butterworth? Well, she makes a very delicious buttered syrup. And it's so unique that it's patented. I tried it on waffles this morning, and believe me, it's the best. And I'm on a diet, and I can't have waffles. What I did was to taste it, and it is delicious. You know what it tastes like? Hotcakes. Yeah, it's got the butter already in it. Real butter and other good ingredients makes it a syrup that stays buttery smooth and tastes maply delicious. Maply delicious to the very last bit in the bottom of the bottle. So taste Mrs. Butterworth. Taste Mrs. Butterworth's syrup. And if you're anything like me, Mrs. Butterworth will be your syrup from now on. Okay? No, I got on a diet here about a week ago to try to get rid of some of this excess avoirdupois. Oh, that is a struggle. A struggle, a continuous struggle. This battle of the bulge.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Listen to
poor Carol. Boy, I know. She pounded me this morning, Arthur, something terrible.
Yeah, but you're doing it the hard way.
I thought that was the easy way. I understood that was the passive way. You know, to exercise.
I don't want anybody beating on me. Unless it's a good Swedish masseuse.
Well, I have two Spanish ladies that beat me up every morning. They do. They dance the Mexican hat dance on the side on my back there. Feels like it anyway.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let me hear something about Minneapolis now. Come on, Howard Viking. Tell me about your town. You born here?
That's right, Arthur. I was born here 23 years ago.
Yeah.
Come on.
Where'd you go after you were born?
No, that 40 years ago. I'm the same age as our radio station.
That's so. 40 years ago. Where'd you go to school?
North High, Minneapolis, and the university, and then 3 years in the Marine Corps.
Oh, now that's a good place to get an education.
Yes, it was.
I always believe in never letting the school interfere with my education. And I'm glad that you got that time in the Marine Corps. Where do you live? In town in Minneapolis? You live out on one of these beautiful lakes or what?
We just moved out to, a block off a lake called Christmas Lake.
Christmas.
And, that's out right about a stone's throw from Lake Minnetonka, where you were out on Cedric Adams'
Where Cedric
boat.
Used to live.
That's right.
On his boat, yes.
Uh-huh. That's west of the Twin Cities.
Uh-huh.
And it's just beautiful out there. You probably noticed when you flew in Friday morning, the leaves changing colors.
That's what I was so surprised to see. I thought that you folks being so far up north, your leaves would be gone, but they're the same as Virginia. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're not as far gone as Virginia leaves.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I don't understand it. I thought you had so much more cold weather here.
They are further gone farther north. The leaves are changed and are falling.
What latitude is Minneapolis? Do you know offhand?
No, I don't.
Isn't it more northerly? Sure it is, than New York.
45
even. Well, we're much farther south than that. I don't understand that.
Well, we had a lot of windstorms. We had windstorms, too, though, you know.
Yes, you had a beautiful gale blowing Friday. Wow.
When you came in, it was windy.
Remember, about 28 miles an hour. What'd you say you were bucking a...
100 knots right on the nose all the way out here. Yeah, at 22,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. But you were flying, too.
Oh, sure. But I had an airplane.
Yeah.
I couldn't have made it against that wind alone. Did you ever do any flying?
Yes, Arthur, I did about a year and a half ago. I learned to fly for the first time in my life. I saw all these Navy boys and Marine pilots in World War II flying while we were in the foxholes, you know. So finally, then, I took some lessons, and I soloed about 14 hours. Not long enough to get a license, and I just ran out of time and money and enthusiasm, I guess. But what I did, I really enjoyed. I scared the wits out of my instructor one time when we were going to do a...
Well, that's nothing new. Well, instructors have that happen to them every day.
You're practicing stall out, you know?
Yes.
And I thought he said after the plane gets mushy and it's about to drop off, you know, a little Piper. It was a Piper 202.
Yeah.
I thought he said push the throttle and the stick forward, so I did. And boy, we went down, just straight down, hanging by our seat belts. I guess maybe that's why I quit taking lessons.
Well, Bill Piper built his airplanes so beautifully and so full of forgiveness that it's a pretty hard job to hurt yourself in one of them.
Yes, indeed.
And it has saved many a guy's neck. But all of the light aircraft are built that way nowadays.
That's right.
There's so much forgiveness in them that you can make all kinds of mistakes. Excuse me, I have a little Mazzola here to talk about. Only Mazzola gives you all the benefits of 100% corn oil. Mazzola is the onlyest one. Mazzola corn oil is rich in polyunsaturates, most effective of all the leading oils in cutting down saturated fats. And this is one of the things about which the nutritionists are in complete agreement. I know there are very few things they agree on, but this is one. That the balance between polyunsaturated and saturated fats in the daily diet is very important. And the way to accomplish that is to use Mazzola corn oil in your frying, in your salad dressings, and in other places, wherever you can use it. And it won't change the flavor of the food you cook in it. Do you know what's happened? We've run out of time in the first half. We'll have to do a station break and come right back. just a few seconds on this, the CBS Radio Network.
And this is WCCO Radio. Your one vote does count. Register tomorrow and vote November 3rd. CCO temperature is 48 degrees, winds west-northwest at 17 miles an hour. Studios, Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830-WCCO.
Greetings to you from Minneapolis. The orchestra with Johnny Parker in the studios in New York with Carol Sloan and Richard Hayes. And I'm out here in Minneapolis in the Leamington Hotel with Howard Viken of WCCO, he's the morning man, Rog Erickson and Charlie Boone of the same station who appear together during the afternoon, and Rog has a very early morning show. To whom do you direct that? To the very early rising milk farmers or what?
Well, yes, we do, to a certain extent. I'm always amazed by the listeners early in the morning, and perhaps it's the same any city, Arthur. It really does amaze me. We'll get equally as many cards from city people as we will from the country people.
Oh, yes.
As an example, people who have to be at work in the factories at 7, they're usually 5:30 risers.
That's right. That's right.
And they all seem to have a certain mood at that time of the morning that I like. And their favorite comment is, how can you be so awake at that time of the morning? Well, they're just getting up. And they haven't said a word yet, but I have been up since 3:45. As a matter of fact, I've been up since 3:45 this morning. I'm tired.
You get up at 3:45?
Yes.
It ought to be against the law.
Isn't that terrible?
Oh,
I used to see delivery men on the street, Arthur, and they've been up since 2 and 3, and I don't feel quite so bad.
Yeah. I used to get up at 5 and thought that was bad enough. 3:45. What do you do, commute from Detroit or something?
Weren't there times when you worked in the early morning shift, Arthur, when you slept at the station at some time?
Oh, if I was out after midnight, I always did, because I'd never get there otherwise.
Well.
See, the engineer used to have a lot of fun with me. Maybe Chuck's pulled this on you guys. If you're late in the morning, does he play your theme song over and over?
Oh,
I used to have a theme song called Beautiful Dreamer. And it was a transcription, you know, of a very fine vocal group. And very beautiful. Beautiful Dreamer, you know, slow like that. And I wanted to sort of ease into things in the morning, you know, because I myself had such a time waking up. And if I was late at any time, they just played that record over and over and over. And one time, for 45 minutes, people got Beautiful Dreamer. And I'd have the thing on in the car driving in. And of course, I'm going crazy to get in and get that thing off, thinking my audience was gone and everything was crazy about. But I found out later that the folks used to sit there and make book on what time I'd get in.
Well, back in my bachelor days, Arthur, I had Sunday morning from 5 o'clock. And, you know, Saturday night is pretty much a play night when you're a bachelor. And there used to be some gruesome events on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
The engineer used to wake me more than once during a record.
I'd like to find out some more about this lovely Pat Larson. You born in Minneapolis, Dad?
Yeah.
You're born right in this town, huh?
Yeah.
And where'd you go to school?
Patrick Henry High School, which is in North Minneapolis, like North, where Howard Viken went.
How long you been at WCCO?
About a year and 3 months. Not very long.
Do you like your work?
Very much.
These nice people to work with?
The people are terrific. Real nice.
Well, she sure is an addition to that studio.
Oh, yes.
Huh?
Thank you.
What time do you get on the job in the morning?
7 o'clock.
Ah, that's nice. That would get me here on time.
That's why they're never late.
And always look that pretty?
Well,
I bet she does, too. I was wondering how early must you get up to do your hair?
5:30. I don't usually do my own hair, though, to tell you the truth.
I don't know. You gals have got yourselves in a trap with this hair business.
Oh, it's hard. It really is.
I swear, if I were you, I'd cut it off about my size and get a wig and wear it every morning, take it off and hang it up.
A very good idea. It would save a lot of time, believe me.
The only trouble is the good ones are very expensive, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. About $300, I think.
I feel sorry for them, you know. Once a week, twice a week in a beauty shop.
Once
a week?
Uh-huh.
4 or 5 hours every time?
No, just a couple of hours. And believe me, that sixth day before you go in again, I feel like a mess.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, he can talk to you about it.
My wife likes to go to the beauty shop, Arthur, because she falls asleep under the dryer. She likes that little rest.
Oh.
Do you do that, Pat?
No, I read every magazine imaginable.
You
really.
Do that at the switchboard.
Thank you.
Well, what's she going to do between calls? We used to have a telephone operator on the board at WJSV in Washington, later WTOP, where Mr. Gammons went after he left here. And that operator was with us for all the time I was there and afterwards. She's just recently retired. Her name was Marie McGrain. And in the mornings, 6:30, 6:45, you go out there and see her dozing at the thing. So I used to get on the mic and say, folks, Marie McGrain is sitting out there so lonesome, and she, nobody to talk to. Give her a ring, will you? Boy, the board would light up like a switchboard. And she'd get on there. Columbia Broadcasting. Yes, he's here. Yes. Yes. I know he did it. I know it.
And she was a witch.
Oh, boy. She was a sweetheart. Oh, I have an announcement to make. Gee, I haven't done this since I had an early morning show. I wish to announce that Peggy Lee is now a grandmother.
Okay.
Peggy Lee is a grandmother. Very proud one, too. On the first day of October at 11:25 in the morning, she called me up and said, I just had a grandson.
How about it?
His name is David Allen Foster. Her daughter, Nikki. At the Valley Presbyterian Hospital in Van Nuys, California. If any of you folks want to send a little card to her. Peggy Lee is the grandma. I can't believe it.
Why, they just don't make grandmas like they used to.
Where was she born?
North Peggy Dakota. Lee?
Yeah, North
it's
Dakota.
It's up here somewhere.
All right, that's why
City, North Dakota.
We're quite certain that she can, that her friends and maybe some of her relatives are hearing this right now.
Oh, great.
North Dakota.
Well, they probably already know the story. I knew it last Thursday, but I didn't have a chance to talk about it till now. And she was so proud of it, I just got to tell you about it. And I'm also very proud of a product I have called Amitone. You fellas know what Amitone is? You ever bothered with the indigestion, with the hyperacidity?
Last Saturday morning after that Friday night.
Yeah, our anniversary.
Well, the Amitone is what does it. You know, this diet I've been on that gives me so little to eat. In between meals, your stomach starts eating itself, you know. And I take these little Amitones, and boy, it stops the pangs just like that. Very nice. Very good. And it's great for any kind of acidity in the stomach. It has an exclusive glycine formula, which has a longer-lasting effect on maintaining the stomach's natural balance. And everybody's stomach ought to be naturally balanced, you know. Because if it gets out of balance, it tips up and spills everything, and then where are you? So, use Amitone. There's no acid rebound. It doesn't interfere with regularity. And there's a free trial offer on, which they have given my name to for some reason. It's called the Arthur Godfrey Free Trial Offer. That means you can try me free. Plaza 12345 in New York. One pocket vial of Amitone free with each 100 tablet bottle. A $2.34 value for only $1.99. That's a 35 cent savings. Now, 35 cent savings. See, all you have to do to save $3.50 is buy 10 of these, right? Just think of that. You could save millions if you had enough. Amitone. Try it. It's very, very good. Richard Hayes.
Yes, sir.
We'd like very much to hear a song from you, fella.
Okay, I'd like to do one. Called People.
That's a nice subject.